This conflict lacks the bloodshed and body count of the late 60s and early 70s, but the international war for control of the textile and apparel industry has its own armies, casualties, and battlefields. One of the front lines in this war is here, Ho Chi Minh City, once called Saigon, Vietnam's largest metropolis with around 6 million people. Vietnam's developing economy has been ripe for an industry like textiles because making clothing is labor-intensive. It needs a lot of people. Opening just one garment factory creates hundreds of jobs for a product in great demand around the world. And there are now hundreds of Vietnamese textile factories like this one in Dinh Duong province north of Ho Chi Minh City. In just 2 years, the nation's textile and garment companies have exported enough shirts, pants, and sweaters to push Vietnam from the 64th largest exporter of garments in the world to the 6th.
Most important thing is the people, the Vietnam people. They are very high educated. Also, they work very hard, diligent.
Korean businessman B.I. An and his wife moved to Dinh Duong province in 2002 to open a factory for Botek Vina to produce garments for JCPenney and The Gap.
This is the factory one for woven shirts and pants.
More than 2,000 workers man machines inside the Botek plant, earning an average of $80 a month. That's around 1/16 of what a textile employee in North Carolina can make. The lower salaries allow Mr. An to sell to major retailers at a much lower cost than North Carolina firms can. Unable to compete with clothing made with cheaper labor, North Carolina companies have laid off as many as 82,000 workers in 10 years. But Vietnam's booming textile business is facing a major hurdle of its own. In 2003, Botek Vina filled orders at a breakneck pace, but by year's end, piles of sealed boxes were sitting on the factory floor with no place to go. In May, the U.S. and Vietnamese governments implemented quotas, or limits, on how much clothing companies in Vietnam could export to the United States. The new rules meant that by September, B.I. An's young company had produced all that it could export for the year.
Strictly speaking, if we knew the quota system will start from May 1st, we will not invest in this country.
Botek workers like 19-year-old quality inspector Nguyen T. Van worried about losing their jobs. I chose this factory because my family lives near here, says Ms. Nguyen, who rides a bicycle to work 6 days a week and works a minimum of 8 hours a day to get by. She's been working since the age of 14 to help support her family, who couldn't afford to keep sending her to school. Similar stories can be heard at factories across the country. Both private and state-owned companies complain about not having enough support from the Vietnamese government. But you won't find much sympathy for Vietnam's textile workers in North Carolina.
People being laid off and losing houses, losing places to rent, kids are going hungry, and it ain't right.
The casualties of the textile trade war with Vietnam and other Asian countries continue to pour into bankruptcy courts and the state's unemployment offices. The U.S. textile lobby and its advocates like North Carolina Governor Mike Easley and Congressman Richard Burr have asked the federal government to stop the flood of foreign-made goods. Governor Easley has written to President Bush asking him to renegotiate the Vietnam agreement to impose stricter limits on Hanoi's exports. Meanwhile, North Carolina textile veterans remain pessimistic about the outcome of the textile trade war. In the small Davie County town of Coulomb, the former home of a textile mogul is now a textile museum with exhibits about what was once the town's main industry. After a trip down memory lane, Peggy Hellard, who worked at Coulomb's mills her whole life, says she can only watch recent developments and wonder.
It seems to me like the government is encouraging people to go overseas to start all these jobs for people overseas. And my thought is always, well, if everything's going to move over there and there's no jobs here, who's going to buy this stuff they're bringing in?
For now, American shoppers who go to the mall or other retail outlets are buying clothes made in Vietnam. And while there are calls for changes in the trade agreement between Vietnam and the United States, analysts say that probably won't happen, and the war for the future of textile and apparel manufacturing will likely continue to claim casualties on two continents. I'm Larry Schooler in Coulomb, North Carolina.